and welcome to this latest edition of the MPFT podcast. This is the latest episode in our series covering the Trust's Staying Well service, which supports people with frailty across the south of Staffordshire to live a healthier and more balanced lifestyle. In the first episode, we introduced what the Staying Well service is, and you can find that conversation in the MPFT podcast feed. For this episode, we're focusing on what patients can expect when they're referred into the service. My name is Mark Fletcher, and joining me for today's chat is...
Charlotte Woodcock, Operational Lead for the Staying Well service.
Thanks for being here today, Charlotte. So, as we said at the top of the episode, the service supports people with frailty in the south of Staffordshire. Could you start by explaining how someone can be referred into the service and what they can expect once that referral has been made?
Certainly, Mark. People are referred to the service either by their GP, anybody within their GP practice, or anybody that they work with regards to health and wellbeing. If some people attend community groups, their group leaders may identify the Staying Well service as something being helpful to them. So any health or wellbeing professional can refer you into the service. Once the referral is received, we have a look at that referral and just check that we are the right service for you and could offer you some helpful advice and support. From that, your assessment will be allocated to one of our health professionals, which we call a Staying Well facilitator. And they're either a community nurse or an occupational therapist by background. And you'll receive a telephone call from them in the first instance. This is a good opportunity for you to have a chat, answer any questions, or if you've got any concerns or queries, and also get to speak to the actual person that will be coming to see you at home. So you'll get a name and get an idea of who's coming to see you. And at that point, a mutually convenient time will be arranged for that Staying Well facilitator to come and see you at home. When the visit takes place, you'll be allocated approximately an hour for that visit, so it's not rushed. When we come in, the first things we talk about is if you've got any initial concerns about your health and well-being, if there's anything that's on your mind that you're hoping to cover and for us to cover and address while we're there. We also, at that point, carry out your blood pressure. We monitor your blood pressure and any other clinical observations at that time, see if that highlights any issues or just for peace of mind. Moving on from there, it really is an opportunity to have a chat about anything that's concerning you or to do with your health or well-being, sort of top to toe. And it might not even be things that are actual active concerns at the moment. They're just questions for the future, possibly, or just wanting some health advice regarding how to stay well and stay active and age well. So some of the things that we cover may be any pre-existing health conditions that you may have. These may be things that you've had for some time, but not actually had opportunity to talk to a health professional about it for some time. So it can be a good refresher, or if there's been any changes, you can have a chat about that. We also have a chat about your medication and perhaps have a look through that. Are there any concerns with your medication, whether that be obtaining the medication, actually getting the medication, is there delays, or about the actual medication itself? We also move on to having a chat about your everyday activities and your daily routine, and perhaps have a chat to you about from when you wake up, from when you go to bed, looking at how you manage activities in the home, you know, with cooking, housework, gardening, how you deal with things outside the home, such as shopping, meeting friends, using public transport. Again, these could be things that are going really well at the moment, and we could just perhaps provide information and support about how to continue to do those things well going into the future. While we're in the home, it's a good opportunity for us to have a chat about your mobility around the home, and also looking about how we can look at our homes to sort of, you know, age-proof in our homes. So it could be that you've got some steep stairs or a difficult bath to get into. And it may be that perhaps either now or in the future, rails or equipment or adaptations to continue to live independently in that home for as long as you wish. Again, that might not be something that you need right at the time of assessment, but it's to give you the knowledge of what is available for the future should you need it. We also talk about mental health, if you've ever had any issues with your mental health in the past or at the current time, whether you've noticed any changes in your mood or any signs of anxiety. It's an opportunity to have a chat about that. And also about memory, if you've noticed perhaps any age-related memory changes or some changes over time that you may be concerned about. And we can have a chat to you about whether further assessment is warranted. But usually it's about reassurance, really, and about ways in which you can maintain your memory for as long as possible. We also have, in that home visit, we discuss what support you've got available, what family you've got available around you. Possibly you might want some more support around you where you could access that, whether now or in the future. We also talk about leisure activities and what's going on in your community. There's a real focus in the Staying Well service to have a look about what resources we've got in the community. There's a lot in the media, and we know ourselves that when people are feeling lonely and isolated, this can have such a massive impact on people's physical and mental health. So if that is an issue or a concern for you going forward, we can have a look about what things are going on in your local area. We also talk about how you keep in touch with people, and if that's an issue, and if you've got family living in other parts of the country and you're concerned about keeping in touch, about different options available to keep the communications with people around you. And we also talk about the wider issues around health that can impact us. There's a lot in the media at the moment about how finances and the cost of bills going up and how that's impacting on people's health and wellbeing, and have an opportunity to talk about that and where people can get help and assistance for things that are worrying them outside of their health but are impacting on health. So once we've had that full conversation around all the aspects I've just spoke about, together working with you, we come up with a bit of an action plan. So if there's been anything highlighted in that assessment, whether it's something you need now or would like some more information for the future, we come up and we document that down and note that down for you. So that could be information and advice about your health conditions or about what's going on in the area. It could be some health information we can give you. It may be that we suggest the provision of some equipment or rails or changes to the home, and we would organise that. It could be that we may think that you could benefit from referral onto another service or have a visit from another health professional. That could form part of your action plan. So the action plan is really varies from person to person, and is really specific to you and your life, whether that be now or in the future. And it could be about where to get help in the future if things deteriorate or you find that situations changes. Sometimes we automatically think about going to the GP, but in some instances, there's other services in the community available and information out there that we can get before going to our GP, in fact. So it's really arming you with all the information that you need to continue to live and age well. At this point, could be one of the parts of the action plan could be that you're invited to the clinic and you're invited to one of our hubs, and that's an opportunity for you to meet with some more health professionals. So that's kind of what you'd expect from an initial assessment, Mark.
So pretty comprehensive then.
Yeah, just a bit.
and I like that segue there for my next question, where you refer to the clinic. So I was going to touch on that next, if I may. So could you sort of, you mentioned there for following the assessment, which covers an awful lot of different things, and I'm guessing that for some patients, the assessments may just provide sort of self-care advice, and they may not necessarily need to go to a clinic. But for those patients who are required to go to clinics or are invited to go to a clinic, should I say, could you just talk a little bit more detail about what those are and if a patient is invited, what they can expect to find?
Just to give you a bit of an idea, about 40% of people are invited to clinic from that assessment. And it's normally where we feel that there's several things on the action plan and they'd benefit from seeing other professionals within the team. So you're invited to a clinic, and we've got one in everyone's local area, so you shouldn't have to travel far. So we've got in community venues, we've got them in Lichfield, Tamworth, Stafford, Cannock, Codsall as well. And we're looking to have some more localities as well so that people wouldn't have to travel far. So you're invited to one of our clinics, which tend to be in a community hub, and the appointment is for an hour. You have your clinical observations, your blood pressure done again, see if there's any changes. And then the unique thing about this clinic is you're in the clinic, you're in the consultation room or in the room, and then each professional comes and sees you, so you haven't got to move anywhere, you haven't got to go through hospitals, you haven't got to find different where to find different health professionals. They will come to you. And the people that you will see, everyone will get to see everybody, have a short input from every member of our team. You will see a community nurse, an occupational therapist, a mental health nurse that specialises in mental health and memory, and a community connector, which is also sometimes you may have heard as being social prescribers, and their job is they have links in with voluntary agencies and community activities, so they're our experts on what's going on in a local community. And we're also in the process of having a pharmacist join our team as well, so it'll be opportunity for the pharmacist. So you'll have a short chat with all of those professionals, and they will have that, like you said, the assessment is quite comprehensive. So before you're seen, each professional will have had all the information about you and your life and what's happening. So it's a targeted, you haven't got to answer the same questions again. It's very targeted about what that professional can offer you, what advice. And it could be that it's just some advice at clinic, or it could be that that health professional will then arrange to come and see you at home to do some further work. But following that clinic, you'll have a written action plan. So there'll be a lot of information that's given to you. So it's all written down, so you'll know exactly who you've seen and what they've said, and with a clear idea about what happens next, whether that involves the professional coming out to see you again, or the information that's added to your action plan from there. And your GP is also written to and given details of that information. So you haven't got to worry about going back to the GP and, well, they know what's happening. They'll be kept well informed. So it's an opportunity to see the group of professionals looking at how we can prevent further decline in health and wellbeing, and to keep people living active and aging well. So you've really got an opportunity to tap into a lot of professionals and a lot of experience for you to ask us anything about that might be concerning you, or look into the future.
So it sounds a bit like a sort of speed dating style situation where you're going to go from one person to the next then. But
it does. I'm never the first person to say that, Mark. Well, yes, you're right.
Speaking from personal experience. Is every patient who's invited to attend a clinic, do they each go to see the same person each sort of, they all do that rota around the clinicians? So do you have sort of bespoke, so you'll need to see one person but you may not need to see the other person? So does everybody see everybody, basically, is what I'm asking you?
This is something we've discussed as a team. We've done it in two different ways. What we do is, before people arrive, we do have a team meeting and have a look through the assessment and highlight who is best for that person to see. So, for example, it could be issues around memory. So we might think, well, actually, the bulk of the time needs to be with the specialist in memory. Or it could be isolation. And so it could be the community connector that needs to see. Or it could be issues about medication. So there's normally a couple of things that are coming strongly through that person needs to see. And what we'll do is we'll recognise that and make sure that person's sees those people. But what we felt is that even if it's very briefly, just to go over, just to double check that everything's fine, because what we have found is sometimes when people have had the assessment, something else comes to mind. You know, I'm an occupational therapist. When you had your assessment, you said that you're managing with your daily activities well. Is that still the case? Is there anything you want to run past me? So beforehand, we plan it. So it's bespoke in the way that we carve up the time. So depending on that need, they have that a longer period of time with the professionals that be most suited to them. But there will also be an opportunity to have a conversation with everybody there. But we come to them. So you haven't got to move about moving tables or anything like that. We come into the room as well.
Right, I see. So final question. So we talked there earlier about the home assessment and then just now about the clinics provided by the service, but it's more to stress that isn't the end of the journey for a patient, however. So could you just talk a little bit about the next steps for the patient once that clinic session's happened?
Certainly. So following that, you will have your action plan. And in that action plan, it may well be that you'll be seeing one or two of the staying well team. You may have an occupational therapist come and visit from that, or a mental health professional. Or it could be that you've not actually down to see anybody, but you've been given some self-help information and what have you. So everybody, regardless, will have a first review around 6 to 12 weeks after their initial assessment. So that will be their first one. And that's an opportunity to say, are there any further concerns? How are you getting on with the action plan? Has everything happened in the action plan? You know, was there still things that we're waiting to happen that need chasing up? You're given the number of the staying well facilitator, the team. So you haven't got to wait for that first review. If you've got any concerns before, then you can give the team a call and get a call back. But you have an open referral for a period of 6 months. So you have that first review around 6 to 12 weeks afterwards, and then you'll have another discharge review at 6 months. But during that 6 months, you're free to contact us at any time. And during that time, you might well be seeing some of us anyway in that time. But we only keep people on for a period of 6 months. So we then do a telephone review at 6 months to see how you are, where we are now. Do you feel as though you've got all the information? Have all the changes been made to maintain your health and well-being and to enable you to do the things you need to and want to do? If it's 6 months, we feel like there's still a bit of work or there's things that you need, then we would pass you on to the relevant service. But we don't just leave it there, and we do review just to check that everything's happened that we said, and there's no worries, there's no concerns. So, but there's those official two reviews, but it's flexible in the fact that people could contact us at any time during that period between those reviews also. And then that hopefully then we usually find that after 6 months that completes the work that we need to do at that point. But we also give people with, I've got a clear idea about should things change, about what they need to do going forward.
Thank you. And just to add from my side that you can find out more about the service by going onto the MPFT website. So you go to mpft.nhs.uk and then type in Staying Well Service into the search box. You'll be able to find out more about the Staying Well Service, including a link to the previous podcast I mentioned earlier. So thank you, Charlotte. That's it for this MPFT podcast. As I just said just now, this is the latest episode about the Staying Well Service, and with more to follow in due course, so watch this space. You can subscribe and listen to previous episodes by searching for the MPFT podcast via the usual platforms. And it just leaves me to say a big thank you to my guest, Charlotte Woodcock, and also to thank you for listening.